And welcome, friends, to this edition of The Grace Hour. Once again, broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And friends, it's great to be with you as we start a brand new week of broadcasting live here on our broadcast. And we want to thank you for tuning in this morning. If my voice sounds a little raspy, that's because myself and many others just returned from our annual Camp Life program, where we host our young people for a week in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania. And not only were there a number of lost items left behind by the campers, but a number of lost voices as well, including myself. But we're grateful to be back here with you live in the studio and getting a new week of broadcasting underway. And this week's theme on the Grace Hour, we'll be talking about it's the little things that can make such a big difference in our lives. And again, we'll take each and every one of our broadcasts this week and highlight something small, something seemingly insignificant, something that doesn't seem to amount to much, and how it can make such a big difference in our lives. So we'll get started today in Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter. But before we do that, we want to remind you that we're live for the next hour, and you can join us a little later in the broadcast as we open the phone lines and begin to take your calls. You can participate in the broadcast with your questions, comments, testimonies, counseling needs, prayer requests, all of that and more. Welcome on our broadcast on this Monday morning. Here are the numbers, toll-free in all of North America. It's 800-338-7060. And here in the greater Baltimore area, friends, if you'd like to join us, and we hope you will, 410-483-3700. And I want to welcome everybody listening live at gracehour.org, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and a number of our platforms in which our podcast reaches out across the globe. Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, just to name a few, and of course many more as well. So welcome to all of you that are joining us live around the globe today. And as we begin our broadcast, Tess has weighed in all the way from Sweden and looking forward to today's broadcast, hoping to be refreshed in her spirit, stirred up in her faith. And we hope that, again, that happens to each and every one of our listeners on our broadcast today. I'm going to read the parable, friends, that is written to us here in Mark's Gospel. You can find it in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospel. But here in Mark chapter 4, Jesus, of course, began to teach the multitudes by the seaside. And he entered into a ship, sat in that ship while it was in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. He taught them many things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beginning in verse 3 of Mark chapter 4, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Came to pass, as he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside. The fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground, and when it did not have much earth, immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among the thorns. The thorns grew up, choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And the other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And at that point in the parable, Jesus said to them, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And in Mark chapter 4, as the narrative continues, his disciples asked him, "What does the parable mean?" And, of course, Jesus went on to explain it. We're going to talk about it today live on the Monday morning edition of the Grace Hour. And here to shed some light on this all-important parable and the little things that we find in it, Pastor Schibelli.
Little things. Isn't that great? That's a great subject. Do not despise the day of small things, Zechariah 4:10. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's amazing. Something just small, you know. It's kind of like one of the most deadliest things about Africa. It's just a little mosquito. Little mosquito carries something with it that can like end somebody's life. Please don't use that, not as a way of saying I'm never going to Africa, but you just take malaria medication. But I think this is an important. I love this parable. And you were, I think you were doing a lot of seed sowing at Camp Life. I mean, from what I recall, I think you said there was 373 people between the campers, 270, 286, and then 87 workers. Is that what you said?
That's right.
Hey, look at that. I remember that from
take
last
good
night.
Notes.
Yeah, 373. Wow. A lot of seeds sown in their lives through messages, through fellowship and relationships that are taking place there. And I imagine that it takes time, that after Camp Life is over, that they've digested the Word of God, the messages, the body life, the time that they had together. That's a great opportunity. And seeds are sown, and then 30, 60, 100-fold. I want to talk a little bit about this parable, and I think it's very important. And I want to give us four instances of what could take place. Number one, if you sow bad seed on bad ground, you get nothing. It's like, you know, it's not going to happen. Bad seed, bad ground, no fruit. How about bad seed, good ground, no fruit? How about, I said bad seed, good ground. How about good seed, bad ground, no fruit? So these first three instances that we have here, bad seed, bad ground, bad seed, good ground, good seed, bad ground. The only one that works is the fourth one, good seed, good ground. That's what brings forth fruit. And I think this is so important in our lives, that seed. And what a seed produces, what's contained in a little seed, a seed from a tree. And I used to live in an area that was well known because Johnny Appleseed was there. And if you've never heard of Johnny Appleseed, who was a Christian, he would just go around New England, especially in the area of the Pioneer Valley, and he would just like throw these apple seeds out everywhere. You should see all the apple trees in the area where we're from. Plenty of apple trees. It's amazing. And Johnny Appleseed was just sowing seeds, and trees were popping up that still remain today. And so how important it is for us as Christians and for the church as God's foundation for the mission of the gospel today, to be sowing good seeds on good ground. This is very important. So what's going to bear fruit? It's going to bear fruit. And good seeds. And that could be even in our exchanges with each other in a church as believers, that we're sowing good seed into good ground. That can be when we go out with the message of the gospel. We're sowing good seed on good ground. And by the way, good seed would have to be a seed that has a foundation of God's grace and God's word. That's good seed. There's a lot of seed out there that might not be so good. Seed that says man must be required to do something before he can be saved or be discipled. It's all based upon man. That's not good seed. Good seed is the seed of grace, where the seed is sown, and it is God himself who produces the life within the person and causes the person to grow as a believer. Good seed, good ground. So Jesus spoke much about that. And we see that for many, many years, decades, and centuries, we've seen people going out and sowing seed in certain places. I was reading a little bit today, or yesterday, about Adoniram Judson, who went to Burma, and I think it took 7 years before he had one convert. That's a long time. But he kept sowing seed. They say that they can trace 2 million Burmese converts. And we're talking about in the 1880s, when he was there, 1870s, 1880s. And he sowed good seed. And that seed produced fruit. And that's really incredible. Good seed producing good fruit. When the seed is bad seed, maybe it's legalism, maybe it's some form of the Bible, but without the life of God, then that seed, which is not good seed, will produce fruit that's not good fruit. So it's important. Jesus wanted us to have fruit that remained. John 15 talks a lot about that, fruit that remains. He wanted us to have the right quality of fruit, not just quantity of fruit, but quality of fruit. And good seed will produce a quality of fruit that really is what God so much desires to see take place in a Christian's life and in a church's life, bearing fruit. Now, if we're to look at the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, we can see the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. And in that fruit that's produced is God's love, God's joy, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, patience, all these different things that are being produced. Good seed produces good fruit. And you know, you might take a look and say, well, there's not a great quantity of things happening. Well, it's not so much the quantity that first is important, but it's the quality of the fruit. Maybe there's just a few converts. Maybe it's just James and John and Peter and Andrew following you, and you are God the Son. And maybe you just got a few people. Can you imagine that God himself, the God-man, Jesus Christ, he had 11 men that were willing to be disciples. There were others that came. Maybe there was the 70. Maybe there were more than that. There was sometimes thousands in the book of Acts at the Pentecost preaching. But how many people remain and were good seed, producing good fruit because they were good ground? They were receptive. Good ground means I am receptive. I'm available and I'm receptive. And I'm going to take in that good seed and God is going to produce something. By the way, it's God's seed and it's God who does the producing. It's not, here's the seed from God, now you make it happen. You make it happen. Jesus said to them, I will make you fishers of men. I will do the making. 1 Peter 5:10, make you perfect. 5:10 through 12, make you perfect. God does the making. We do the taking, the receiving, and then God does the making. So we receive from God. The seed is the word of God, the word of grace. And then God is producing something in our lives. God does the making. And this is so important, like bearing fruit. Ministries that bear fruit, Christians that bear fruit, Christian schools that bear fruit, camp life, which is going to bear fruit in people's lives. How important is this? We want the grace hour, our time on the air, to be bearing fruit. If it's not bearing fruit, then I don't know what we're doing on the air. But it's so key that it would be a fruit-bearing ministry. And this is key. This is so important. So good seed needs good ground. I was saying before that you don't take good seed out and throw it on Route 95. I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of activity taking place, or I don't think it's going to find a place there. It's going to just be there and be gone and be dead. So good seed, good ground, producing good fruit. He named a couple of things, sowing by the wayside. Okay, sowing by the wayside, sowing in a place where there's no root, sowing among thorns, okay, where the thorns grow up and choke, and the thorns are like the world system. They go up and they choke the word, they kill off the seed. So good seed, good ground. As we continue our program today, let's have this subject, this doctrine, this topic this week really be that which bears incredible fruit in people's lives. Good seed, good ground, good fruit. So, Father, bless our time today. And we thank you. Thank you that you brought Pastor Love alive back from Camp Life. And we pray, strengthen and quicken us today in the work. Help us, God, to be sowing good seed on good ground and seeing good fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. You're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends. Thanks so much for joining us on the Monday morning edition of our broadcast as we get a brand new week of broadcasting started live here on our many different platforms that you can listen to the program on. So we hope that you'll stay with us. Phone lines are open. You can participate anytime you like during the broadcast, either by joining us on our chat and weighing in that way with your comments or questions, or picking up the phone and dialing one of these numbers to join us live. Toll free in all of North America is 800-338-7060. Mm-hmm. And in the Baltimore area, locally, you can join us at 410-483-3700. You know, the constant in the parable that Jesus taught, of course, is the seed. That doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
But the variables, of course, are the different types of soil. And we should just say it this way. It's a different type of hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we have witnessed this throughout our lives in the body of Christ, and I think that this takes place anywhere where churches are and or are being started and have, you know, been underway for decades in some mm-hmm. cases. There's different kinds of hearers. There's different yes. kinds of souls. There's different kinds of soil. And you mentioned the first one, the wayside, the second, the stony ground, the third, the word, of course, sown among thorns, and then the good ground. We would love to think that the seed, which is the word, is always sown on good ground.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't always the case, is it?
It's not the case. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said it. There's a possibility that seed is sown and it's not good ground. And that's very important for me to be able to discern what is good ground. There are some people, there are some places in the world and some situations, some parts of maybe a city or a town, or you knock on somebody's door, and they don't want the Word of God. They have no desire for the Word of God, and it's not good ground. It's not good ground. Some people can become, in one way, spiritually stubborn by just continuing to do something on ground that's not good. And then they can say, well, God wants me to keep doing this, but you're just sowing seed on bad ground, and it's not going to happen. Where you've got good ground, you've got the seed being sown and people responding. There are some countries that people have gone to that they just were not open. It was just no good soil there. I mean, you know, they weren't ready. Maybe it will be 10 years later, 20 years later. I don't know, you know. But at that particular time, it was not an open place. But you can see there were some places, you know, that men of God went. And it was incredible. You read about Finney's revivals. He would be up in New York, and he would be sowing good seed, and it was unbelievable amounts of conversions. It was just good ground at that particular time. I don't know what would happen if he went there now with a Finney revival or whatnot, you know. But at that particular time, it was good seed on good ground and produced a lot of fruit. And fruit that remains, this is also important. It's not just, you know, somebody gets saved and then that's the end. Nothing happens after that. But that there would be discipleship and people would grow and we would see things taking place and happening. So good seed, good ground.
Mm, that's the perfect match. Mm-hmm. And as Jesus described this, the parable, to his disciples, and he said to them in verse 13 of Mark chapter 4, do you not understand this parable? And how then will you know all parables?
Mm-hmm.
The sower obviously sows the word. And then the first type of heart or the first type of soil are these, of course, that they are by the wayside when the word is sown. But when they've heard, Satan immediately comes, mm-hmm. takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And he likens Satan, as he instructed his disciples with the parable, as the fowls of the
yes.
air.
Yes, demon
and,
fowl.
And yeah, that's demons. That's a fascinating principle to consider, Pastor Schiavelli, because it's almost as if, you know, when the Word of God is preached, we understand this principle that we read in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 2nd verse. We have to mix faith with it.
Yes.
If we don't mix faith with what we hear, it seems as though it can be snatched away.
Yes. Isn't that what the Bible says in John 10:10? Satan came to steal. I said this morning in a Zoom to Bangalore. Came to steal the word, kill off the Holy Spirit's influence, and destroy fruit. those three things. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so that's what happens. So there's no receptivity, and these fowls of the air come and just take it away. Demonic interference coming in and just stealing the word, taking it away, so that a person doesn't even think about it anymore.
These are spiritual principles,
yes,
where the atmosphere is at work, principalities, powers, the forces of darkness, very active,
mm-hmm,
in making sure, if it's possible, that the Word of God doesn't find its way into people's hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the key, isn't it? When you,
sure,
open your heart and you let the Word of God speak to you, you let the Word of God convict you in some instances. I mean, you know, we all had questions before we were saved. What's God like?
Mm-hmm.
How does he operate? How does he see me? How does he perceive me? Will I be the objects of his wrath and judgment?
Mm-hmm.
Or is there something that we can understand about God that's, well, we can find mercy, forgiveness,
mm-hmm,
love? And again, that all comes through an understanding of the Word of God. But when the Word finds its way into a person's heart, that's where it,
mm-hmm,
does its best work.
Yes, that is so important. That receive with meekness, James 1:19-21, the engrafted, implanted Word, which can deliver the soul. See, you can be saved and not have a soul that's delivered. You can be born again, but have a soul that needs to be delivered. Soul speaking of the heart or the soul, the mind, the emotions, the will, the conscience, and the self-image, and not be delivered, because I'm not a receiver. I'm not a receiver. Isn't that the key? Isn't that what was said in John 3:27? A man can receive nothing unless it be given him from heaven. Then it says in verse 30, he must increase and I decrease. So I receive, then there's an increase, and then the decreasing just happens. You don't have to try to decrease. If you and I are receivers from God, the increase comes, and then the decreasing just is automatic, you know, automatic. So thinking about all those young people that were able to hear the Word of God continuously at Camp Life, and who knows what can take place. It can be years from now where a message hits home. I remember very, very clearly that I was listening on my radio to WACE, and I heard Pastor Stephen's voice, and it was like he was speaking a message. And for me, it was like seed. It was good seed. And I was like really ready to hear the gospel. There were times in my life when I wanted nothing to do with that. But at that particular point, I was open to hear the gospel. And so that's what took place. And even the whole mission in Africa, it all began with Grace Hour, or which at that time was telephone time. You know, and a tape went into, a message from Grace Hour went into Liberia, Monrovia, Liberia, on Elwa. And the message was heard throughout all of West Africa. It's amazing. I don't know if that goes on today, but Elwa had a station that covered a lot of West Africa. And so they heard, and then they wrote Lennox asking, like, could somebody send booklets or somebody could visit or come. You know, so it was good seed and was sown on good ground.
And you mentioned in James chapter 1, verse 19, you know, you have to receive that word with meekness. Psalm 25, verse 9 also says, the meek will he teach. So meekness,
mm-hmm,
humility, these two principles are so vital when it comes to receiving the seed. And of course,
mm-hmm,
you know, when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, you know, he commended them and said, when you heard the word, when you received it as it was in truth. Not the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God.
Yes, they were there, and we saw last night that even the Bereans were more noble. You know, that they saw that this was they with a readiness of mind, they searched the scriptures daily, and that's amazing. So you had people that were willing to listen. You had other people you see through the Book of Acts that were not willing to listen at all, could have cared less about what was being spoken, but there was good ground.
Yeah,
seed found good ground. We have a caller.
Yeah, we do. George is joining us live on the broadcast on this Monday morning. George, welcome.
Oh, Pastor Love, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pastor Chiavelli, thank you, sir, for the excellent word, and I just want to call in and thank you for, you know, just the years of categorical teaching, and, you know, I just love that our ministry teaches the word line upon line and precept upon precept. And, you know, the grace hour and just all the different vehicles we're using now to get the word out, you know, through Zoom and the using the computer for good things through YouTube and, you know, yeah. But, you know, I want to go to Galatians 5:9, and I'm going to read real quick from the Amplified part of the verse, and it was really good, and I liked it, where it says, a little leaven, a slight inclination to error, or a few false teachers, leavens the whole lump. And that, you know, when you hear the word of God, like you're saying, you know, the good seed, you know, and then just a little, you know, you steer just a little, you know, and it leaveneth the whole lump, you know, and it's just, it's amazing how, you know, just doing that, you know, will just get you off course, you know.
Just a little. Just a little. Did you ever notice that a rusted out car started with just a little rust, and nobody took care of it? Just a little rust on the bumper or someplace below. A little rust, and before you know it, the whole car's rusting out. And that can happen with a house. What is it that comes into a house and destroys a house? These little bugs, or what do they call them now? I can't remember.
Termites.
Yeah, one little termite. Gets himself inside of a house, and before you know it, the house has to get condemned because it's all termites.
Yeah, and it's in Song of Solomon 2:15. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine, right?
Yeah.
And George, you know, you're bringing out that passage from the book of Galatians, and of course, Paul was addressing the Judaizers, those who brought in the leaven of legalism and corrupted the gospel of the grace of God. And I think, you know, we're talking about the seed, and the seed is the word, but let's be more specific. The seed is the word of grace. And if you bring in another message that's not grace, that's how you begin to leaven the whole lump.
Mm-hmm.
And you can begin to actually work against the very message that God intends for people to hear that would bring deliverance and bring fruit and bring the quality of life that he intended for them to experience.
You know, and when we want to, one of the questions we wanted to answer today was, how can we apply the parable of the sower to our daily lives? Well, think about it. When I hear a message, am I there with brokenness, broken and contrite heart? Am I open to receive it? Or do I, there's only certain types of messages I receive, but not others. You know, you start talking about this, you know, don't talk about loving my wife because you don't understand what's going on. You know, don't talk about this or don't talk about that, you know. And so I need to be in a place where the seed that's coming through my daily reading of the Bible or being under preaching and teaching, that I have a heart that's ready to be receptive, to be a receiver of that in our daily lives. So God comes in and he speaks a word to me about something going on at my job, or something taking place in the family, or something going on in the neighborhood, or something in my own life, and I'm open and receptive to it. I'm not saying, well, no, I don't want to, I'm not going in that direction or whatnot, but in my daily life, am I daily listening to the word? Am I hearing the word preached? Am I open? Am I going to listen and realize that maybe there's going to be some things that seem very difficult that come forth from the word of God, but it's God who will actually do the work. It's being confident of this one thing. He who began a good work in you will see it through, perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So applying this parable of the sower in our daily lives, that we go through many situations in life, and am I open to what the word of God has to say? Am I just avoiding it, going on the other side, you know, just the wayside? Am I receiving it in my emotions? And am I allowing thorns really to do a job there and just choke the word? Or am I just really open to it? You know, am I just believing for a while, but not believing that which is an eternal word of God? So in our daily lives, this is so key, because if Bible truth doesn't become part of my daily living, then really what is it? It's just black letters on white pages. It's just theology or knowledge without life, without life. So ask God to help us in our daily lives to be receptive and to have good ground, be good ground.
George, thanks for the comments. Appreciate the call.
Love you. Amen. That was beautiful. Thank you, Pastor Schiavelli. Thank you so much.
All right. Phone lines are open, friends. You can join us at 800-338-7060. That's toll free. And right here in Baltimore, locally, you can join us at 410-483-3700. So we've discussed the wayside and how important it is that we receive the word of God. Otherwise, Satan comes immediately, steals that word that was sown in their hearts. The second type of soul or soil is the stony ground. And Jesus said, these are individuals that heard the word and immediately received it with gladness, but have no root in themselves.
No root.
So they endure for a time. And this is fascinating. He says, afterward, affliction or persecution arises because of the word, and immediately they are offended.
They're gone. They're gone. Because they didn't realize that these things are going to take place, and the word of God should be the very key to how I would be able to stand in that affliction, that test, that trial, and whatnot, the very word that I've received. So it's just, it's incredible what can happen. It's incredible that only one heart, you know, it's only one heart out of the four examples that are given that is going to produce fruit. We can understand very well how the world can choke the word too, that third aspect of ground, just all the cares of this life. It says cares and pleasures of this life choke the word. And this is so important, because we have an opportunity to really allow God's word to produce something that's very deep in our lives, very, very much strong and well grounded in our lives. Because faith cometh by what? Hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So without faith, it's impossible to please God, but this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So hearing the word and being open to the word and having a receptive heart to the word, that really is what is the key to living the faith life. If I'm not in a place where I'm hearing the word, I don't look at the Bible, I don't go to church, then guess what? How can I grow in faith?
Nothing happens.
And
of course, that stony ground, and it's interesting that it says immediately they receive it with gladness. I mean, are we talking about emotional hearers here? Because if it always has to be joyful, if it always has to be, you know, the results of listening to the word of God, I have to be happy. That's going to create some problems, because what happened in this case is affliction came and or persecution. I mean, we need a gospel message that says, you know what, because you now trust Christ and you're born of God and you've received the salvation that God offers by grace through faith, affliction still comes.
They come.
Persecution still happens. So don't allow these things to sidetrack you, because if you can't, well, we're all familiar with the saying, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen, right? The heat's going to come. But praise God, if we're receiving the word with meekness, and if we humble ourselves before God, well, Jeremiah the prophet said, you won't even see the heat when it comes.
You won't. Richard Wurmbrand had a statement one time. He says, what churches need to do is also teach the doctrine of sufferology. He said, an unbalanced pulpit never talks about trials, afflictions, difficulties, or opposition. It's just kind of always giving the flowery side of the message, you know, or this thing that's happening. And we don't ever want to talk about trials and difficulties and problems and persecutions and oppositions and things taking place. No. We don't want to do that. You know, that's going to discourage people. But it's not the truth. It's not a balanced ministry. It's not a balanced pulpit. because they're not talking about these things that are going to take place. And not that we're going to emphasize those things, exalt them, or fear them, but we receive the Word of God in those things, and they take place. And how often they take place, when they take place, or the extent of it, that's up to God himself, because it's all an opportunity for us to grow.
And, you know, believers. Just practically speaking, just to give you an illustration here, you know, I'm always trying to grow good grass.
You are?
At my home. And I so often, but I had the experts come, and basically what they've told me is the reason why your grass does not grow well, it might start out well at the beginning of the season, but it doesn't have the enduring factor, so to speak, is because it says you have so little soil, the grass that we plant just doesn't take root.
Wow.
And, you know, there's rock, there's stone, and it's not going to happen no matter what I do or no matter what they do. It's just not going to happen.
Yes, because of the soil.
So I can really identify with this teaching, this parable that Jesus taught. And then in the backyard, there are the thorns. And when we've tried to plant something among the thorns, oh boy, the thorn bushes, they have a way of reproducing themselves in an alarming fashion.
Alarming.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can see that Jesus was speaking to those that he was addressing here that gathered to hear him, this multitude. Boy, could they relate to the things he was saying.
When I was in Massachusetts, I had, I lived in Feeding, they called it Feeding Hills. I lived, it was like a farm area. And I just was so frustrated because I could never have grass that looked at all like it should look. I said to my wife one day, let's do this. Let's get rid of all the grass and let's concrete the front yard and paint it green. I've had it. You know, she's like,
that's one way of doing it.
She goes, we can't do that. That looks horrible, you know, but it was just like, it was the same problem. It wasn't good soil.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Same problem. So.
So this goes back to people's hearts. It's all about, and you mentioned earlier, we of course just returned from our youth camp that we have annually up in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania. And, you know, we don't know what kind of hearts were that made up that large group of young people. Some of them, you know, good ground, of course, the Word of God will take root and we'll see fruit. But others, perhaps it's stony ground, perhaps they just listened to it and there was an immediate response. They liked it, but will there be any fruit that's produced in their lives? We don't know because only God knows the hearts of
Ezekiel men. Said sometimes it's just like a lovely song that somebody's singing, but they don't allow it to be implanted in their lives. They don't receive it with meekness that can deliver them. And meekness means I don't resist the Word. I don't react to the Word. I'm open. I'm receptive to the Word of God. And that is so important. Jesus said, here's Jesus himself, the God-man, saying that he's meek and lowly. That means he's going to listen to what his Father has to say. He's put himself in that place, even as the God-man, to hear from his Father's voice. He's going to listen and going to receive. That's an incredible truth when you think about it. And that's what's really needed today in Christians' lives and all of our lives is meekness.
And, of course, another question we could ask ourselves today is, how does the parable of the sower encourage believers to have deep roots in their faith? And, I mean, this is a real important issue because, obviously, if there's depth of soul, we're going to see a response to the word that's been sown in our hearts. But it really comes down to depth of soul.
Sure. Look at the other examples, the other three. There was no depth of soul. It was not good ground at all. And that's what the results are going to be. The word is choked, falls by the wayside. This is what's going to happen. So
isn't it interesting that, you know, affliction, persecution, that causes them to immediately be offended. Yet God says, this is how I'm going to deepen your soul through affliction. And persecution.
I don't want that.
The very thing that caused them to be offended are the very things that God uses to deepen our souls so that the Word of God can really produce the kind of fruit that he intended it to. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. Pastor Sturge is joining us from the Baltimore area. Pastor Sturge, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Thank you. Thank you. Just a testimony from Camp Life. First of all, Pastor Love, thank you for your years and years and years and years of just sowing, patiently sowing, sowing, sowing beside all waters. And that's amazing. I couple things that to me characterized the week. And one was I felt like we were in a mini youth convention. It was amazing. I remember one night just sitting up on the hill, and all the kids were gathered down around the snack bar and the pool, and nobody had a cell phone in their hand.
Amen.
No cell phone. There was no cell phone. It was a miracle.
That's a miracle.
It was a miracle.
They were talking to each other.
They're talking to each other, just fellowshipping, and kids are swimming. Kids are at the snack bar, and I just thought this is like a little convention of our young people, and it was just there's so much life going on. There was so much interaction, and maybe kids who for an entire year have never had this kind of interaction because they spend most of the time on their cell phones or in front of a screen. And then the other thing that really touched me was we had a prayer meeting every morning at 7:30, and it was amazing to see these young people come in, and they were tired, but their soil was so tender and so moist and so ready to hear a word in the morning and pray and just be, revived. And I'm looking around, and we had it on the porch, in the staff cabin porch, and I would look around, and I just saw that, like you said, Pastor Love and Pastor Schiavelli, there was a humility there. There was a meekness and a hunger, mm-hmm. a hunger. I think that's so key with all of us, including young people. But that proverb that says the full soul loathes the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, even the bitter thing is sweet. And I think when a young person is always sowing to his flesh in Galatians 6:7. Always sowing to his flesh from the world, his soul gets full of the wrong thing,
mm-hmm.
and he loathes the sweet things of the Word of God and the sweet things of God. Whereas a young person who's hungry, really hungry for God, maybe through trials, through family situations, divorce, whatever. Remember the brother and sister from Belgium, Pastor Love.
Mm-hmm.
And, she gave a testimony about, it was at the campfire, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
And just being in an atheistic country and just hungering for fellowship, hungering for the Word. And she got baptized yesterday morning and just in tears.
It
was amazing.
She explained that they live so far away from the only church that they have access to, which is in Paris, France.
Wow.
But they make it there once or twice a month. And she said it's so refreshing. And she said to be here at camp and to get the Word of God and to have that fellowship on a daily basis, she said it just was overwhelming her soul.
That's great.
And, yeah, a real hungry heart. That makes such a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Love you,
Pastor,
guys.
Thanks so much. Yep. We hope you get some rest, too, because you are part of that amazing staff that went up there for the week as well.
Hey, we did it by the grace of God.
Yeah, just ask for the quickening of the Holy Spirit. Have a bowl of macaroni. You'll be fine.
There you go.
Amen. Well, I had a lot of macaroni.
Thanks so much. Pastor Schiavelli, let's focus. We talked about, of course, sowing among thorns. Again, these are those that hear the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things entering in. How important is it that those things, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, don't enter into the heart along with the Word of God.
That's why we need a shield of faith. Isn't that good? A shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And not giving place, I think it says in Ephesians 4:27, give no place to the devil. And then John 8:31-36, Jesus said to them, my word has no place in you. The only thing that can remove the enemy from having a place is having the word of God in me constantly, that the word has a place. I mean, think about this. Jesus preaches this amazing message. He does a great miracle, and the miraculous catch of fish in John 6, preaches a great message at the Bread of Life in Capernaum. And then everybody leaves. He says, you know, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And it was like 5,000 people left. Wow, imagine that. And he said to the 12 that were there, will you also go away? I mean, like, Jesus, maybe you should stop. You know, you might have nobody with you, you know. And in all reality, there was these 12, and then he said, one of you is a devil. So there was 11 men out of thousands of people that actually really wanted the word of God, that whose hearts were open. The other ones, they were very happy to be fed that which was physical and enjoy the blessings of the of physical provision that God would bring. But what about the word of God? They did not want that, and they went away. And it's a sad thing today, because if you have a church and it's giving you all the provisions you need that are natural, and then all of a sudden the word of God comes in, and then people are just not interested in it at all. I remember I preached a message one time. It was at a, I won't mention the name of the place, because it wasn't a church, but it was a parachurch group. And by the time I was done, the only people that were left were my wife, two children, and two other people. And there was 400 people that started there. People just were getting up and walking away, because I was talking about the cross and the finished work and grace and all that. People don't want to hear it. It's amazing.
Mm.
This was in the 90s.
Incredible. Well, let's go back to the phones. Let's take our next caller from Pastor Dan, who's joining us also from the greater Baltimore area. Pastor, welcome. Pastor Dan, are you there?
Oh, hi. Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Sibeli.
Hello.
I just wanted to give a comment on what you guys were both talking about. I think we couldn't hear about it from two greater guys and Pastor Schaller. And when we were up in Turner, Maine, and how so many body members came up to Turner, Maine, and we're just edifying. And Maggie Lockhart's brother came from Rumford, Maine. I'd never heard such wisdom come out of a man's mouth. And he said, first thing he says, you know how wicked we are, Pastor Dan. And I laughed and I said, oh my goodness. Well, Pastor Schibelli was talking about the soil, and Pastor Love talking about the soil, the rich soil. These people up there at Turner, older people, we had Pastor Schaller come up and speak for 2 days, and he just made everything so calm and logical and easy. And Pastor Havi got up and preached, and Pastor Jagir, and several people got up there to preach. And I think the body there just saw the unity from the body, that how great it is to be part of a bigger vision than you have in yourself. And I think when people, they're not showing up for church, they're not going to the Bible study, they're not taking classes, they're hearing from so many people with the fullness of God. Ephesians 1:23, I'm thinking, wow, we're getting the fullness in his body members, and he's anointing us. Everything was so anointed, and I saw it just coming together. It was a fantastic time. You know, here's an 85-year-old man, been in that church probably forever. He's hurling pieces of wood over to make the platform, pallets. He's throwing them over there, making the pallets. I go, who is this guy? How could he? He's got a bad back. I can't hardly breathe. He's up there playing music. And I don't think they knew how much oneness they had. And the young kids were listening to the old man like it was their father.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah, I thought, you know, who could bring young kids, the middle age and older, all together, and you don't even see an age group?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the power of the Word of God.
Oh, my God, it was amazing. Just amazing.
That's a great report. We've heard some wonderful things that took place up there. Many from our different ministries converged in the state of Maine and kind of rehearsed the ministry's history. And the reports that we've heard back have been wonderful, and what an edifying time for all. Dan, thanks so much. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Pastor.
God bless you. You can still join us, friends, at 800-338-7060 and the local number 410-483-3700. So let's spend the remainder of our broadcast today, Pastor Schibelli, talking about the good ground.
Good ground.
These are people that hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, 30, 60, some 100-fold.
Receptivity. Isn't that the key?
Mm-hmm.
That's the key to Christianity, really. I receive the word. I receive grace. 2 Corinthians 6:1, don't receive the grace of God in vain. James 1:21, we mentioned already, receive with meekness the planted word. Be a receiver in this parable, a person who is receptive. This is so key. And it's not so much about, like, people concentrate on what gift do I have or this ability or that. Just be a constant receiver. If you don't receive air, you die, right?
Mm.
So, being a receiver of God's word and God's life and God's spirit on a daily basis, receiving his word, receiving mercy. When you fail, I want to be a receiver. And this is so key, receptivity. And where there is no receptivity, how can there be any growth? There's no growth that can take place because I am a person that's in a place where I'm being receptive and whatnot. And how about people that don't even, I mean, you have to open your Bible. You have to go to church to hear the word of God to be a receiver. You don't have any receptivity to the word. You're not around other believers. You know, this is a very dangerous place to be in. You're just not receiving, you know. And I don't know how a person can actually grow without receiving.
One of the favorite families that Jesus would visit while he was on the earth during his ministry was the house of Mary, mm-hmm. Martha, and Lazarus. And, you know, we understand this great story that we find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, when Martha is just mm-hmm. overwhelmed with all of her serving, and she becomes anxious, she becomes troubled, she even lashes out at her sister Mary because she doesn't seem to be helping with all of the little things that needed to be done. And she just sat there at the feet of Jesus and heard his word and opened her heart and kept receiving and receiving and receiving. And when, you know, Martha said, please ask her to get up and help, that's when Jesus said, no, she's chosen, you know, this one thing that's needful, and it will not be taken away from her, not now, not ever. And that was to sit at his feet and to hear his word.
Just to receive.
Yeah.
I spoke about that a little bit last night, you know,
right.
Like receptive, you know. And she was busy serving God, but she wasn't receiving from God. So now she must be serving God with her own idea what it means to serve God, whereas Mary's going to hear the word, and she's going to listen to the word, and then she's going to serve.
Yeah.
Because you find them later on both serving.
You know? Yeah, that's right.
But without being a receiver of the word of God, and receive grace, receive the word, receive mercy, receive the faithfulness of God, receive his power, receive his victory, receive his authority. And that's all. Just be a receiver.
Yeah.
You know?
There's another instance where Jesus in the Gospels was in a home. The home was just packed with people. And then his own family members, his own mother, his own brothers and sisters came. Somebody got the word to Jesus in that home and said, your mothers and your brothers are here, and they want an audience with you. But they couldn't get in because of the multitude. And Jesus said, These
yes.
are my mother and my brethren, they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Wow.
I mean, that's incredible, isn't it?
That's
Jesus was saying there is a relationship that I have with those who hear the word and receive it and respond to it by faith that supersedes natural relationships.
Yeah, because you can become very familiar with things, and it's so important to not be familiar, but to be a receiver. When you become familiar with the Bible, the Word of God, you become familiar with church or Christians, then you're not in a place of receptivity anymore because you're familiar. I know that. I know that. I did that. I've done that. Been there, done that, you know. And there's no receptivity at all. And therefore, I mean, what happens? Will I bring forth fruit in older age, Psalm 92? If I'm a receiver, if I continue to be a receiver, if I shut down and become Mr. Know-it-all, then guess what? I know nothing, and nothing will take place. And all that God wanted to do will never happen.
Mm.
Constantly being a receiver.
Amen. Let's go to our next caller from out in Ohio. Clara is joining us live on the Grace Hour. Clara, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Yes, I wanted to call and thank you guys. A couple months back and everything, I'll be surprised if you guys remember. I asked you guys to pray for, do you help me in my local church? And God answered in a very interesting way. Ended up 2 months ago, was in a very bad motorcycle accident. Should have been dead on the pavement. Ended up was off work for 2 months, and God ended up pushing me away from my church towards a different church altogether, where things have worked a lot better for me, and definitely being able to help, especially in the younger community and also in the women's outreach.
Amen.
That's amazing. Boy, God works in very unusual and strange ways, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yes, he does.
Wow.
Well, that's encouraging to hear, and we're glad that the prayer was answered. an unusual way to have answered prayer.
Very
but
interesting.
Again, sometimes the ways of God, they're past finding out. Mm-hmm. Clara, we just want to say thank you so much for updating us.
You're welcome. You guys keep on what you're doing.
Amen. Thank you.
God bless you. Well, friends, we've reached the end of our Monday morning edition of the Grace Hour. I want to thank you for joining us. Those of you that called us, we didn't get a chance to take your calls. We'll be back tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour. And tomorrow's broadcast, we'll be talking about the crumbs that fall from the master's table, from Matthew chapter 15. So we hope that you'll tune in for our next live broadcast, and that'll be a little less than 24 hours from now. Thank you so much for joining us, friends. And we're looking forward to developing this theme with you all week long. It's the little things that can make all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And grateful for the seed that's been sown in our hearts. Trust God that it will bring forth much fruit. God bless you until tomorrow at the same time.